Hi guys, welcome back to yet another episode of My Reality Podcast, brought to you by Love Alliance. And Love Alliance is a partnership to build a unifying, strong Pan-African movement that promotes access to sexual and reproductive health and rights. So this podcast aims to share the lived realities of young key populations and amplify the needs of young key populations, to call on policymakers and decision makers to turn word and commitments into actions and increase the inclusion of young key populations in decision-making processes. So this episode, you know, I want to welcome you. And my name is Ruel Keo, and today we shed a spotlight on the pressing needs for comprehensive sexuality education, especially for adolescents and young people, both living with and affected by HIV. This classroom can be both a heaven and a battleground, and we're here to dissect these dynamics. So with me today in studio, we have an esteemed panel of guests today. Joining us are Welistane, Elibarak, Simon, and Veronica Wambui. And thank you all for lending your voices to this crucial topic. So I'm just going to let you all introduce yourselves. Tell us a little bit more about who you are, where you're from, what you do, and then we're going to jump right into the conversation.
Hello. I am called Welistane Magbobone. I come from Cameroon. I am a sexual reproductive health and rights advocate, and I am also into communications and content creation for development with knowledge and management. I am actively engaged in programs designed in advancing and championing social inclusion, intersectionality, and mainstreaming of key populations into development. I work in investigating and interrogating existing status quo, encouraging discrimination among young people's rights, particularly their sexual reproductive health rights. I am thrilled by critical thinking, sharpening my approach to influencing policy, and creating content that dissects the social plights and challenges of young people's rights. I currently implement and support projects and activities in raising awareness to ending HIV and AIDS, comprehensive sexuality education, and women's and girls' rights.
Fantastic. Well, that is an amazing, amazing introduction. Thank you so much. And next, we're going to be having Elibarak. Elibarak, could you tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Well, thank you so much, William. So my name is Elibariki Simon. I'm from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. My role is monitoring evaluation at the Young and Alive Initiative in Tanzania. So my role involves working with young people and adolescents, girls and boys, in both rural and urban areas. We are working to empower them so that they can have the capacity to exercise the full potentials that they have in their community and to use the opportunities regarding sexual productive health and rights in their community. So I'm leading the projects regarding young people empowerment for sexual reproductive health and rights in Tanzania. So I work closely or directly with the young people and adolescent girls and boys, both in schools and out of schools settings in rural and in town areas in Tanzania. Thank you.
So my name is Veronica Wambui Chege. I am a digital content creator of a podcast called High Load Podcast. I'm also a rights holder at the Positive Young Women Voices, which is a community-based organization that champions for the rights of adolescent girls and young women, and I'm happy to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you all for the amazing, amazing work that you do in regard to, you know, spearheading the movement of sexual reproductive health rights for young people globally. And now as we dive right in, we're going to start with Welistane. And, you know, from your perspective, why do you think it's important to tailor comprehensive sexuality education, especially HIV education, to the unique experiences and realities faced by adolescents and young people?
Well, adolescents and young people have their own challenges and realities, which of course requires specific attention to suit their needs. I consider several reasons why I think it's very vital to factor in comprehensive sexuality education, especially HIV education, to the unique experiences and realities of adolescents. Let me talk about the developmental stage. It's a fact that adolescence is a critical period of physical, emotional, and intellectual development. And during adolescence, young people are still trying to navigate their ways around the identity, exploring relationships, as well as experiencing significant hormonal changes. Now, tailored or designed comprehensive sexuality education acknowledges these developmental stages to provide age-appropriate information and, of course, guidance that resonates with adolescents and young people's particular experiences and addresses their specific needs. There's also the issue of contextual relevance. Adolescents and young people often face exclusive social, cultural, and economic contexts that influence their sexual behaviors, attitudes, choices, and vulnerabilities. Relevant and relatable information addresses these specific contexts, such as gender norms, cultural beliefs, and of course, social interactions. And another factor I'll look at is also empowerment and self-power. You know, when we tailor comprehensive sexuality education to adolescents and young people, it helps to empower them by providing them with accurate, all-inclusive, and non-judgmental information about sexual health, cutting across HIV prevention. It also equips them with the right knowledge, skills, necessary tools to make informed decisions, negotiate safe relationships, and protect themselves and others from HIV and other sexually transmitted infections. Now, the immediate effect of all this is enhanced self-confidence. And we know self-power in steering, championing their own sexual lives. There's also the issue to address misconception and stigma. You know, because we are young, I'm actually a young woman, because we are young, we may have misconceptions, misinformation, or stigmatizing beliefs about HIV and sexuality. It's therefore important to challenge and correct all this and dispel the myths. And it goes further to promote open dialogue, create supportive and inclusive environment that encourages adolescents and young people to seek HIV testing, treatment, and support services without fear of discrimination or judgment. And lastly, but of course not the least, I'll talk about prevention and risk reduction. Now, it's a fact, statistics have revealed that adolescents and young people are disproportionately affected by HIV globally. Addressing risk factors such as early sexual debut, multiple sexual partners, limited condom use, and lack of access to healthcare services can only be tackled through adolescents and young people tailored comprehensive sexuality education, which of course provides information on safer sex practices and prevention methods like pre-exposure prophylaxis. Thank you.
Oof, that's very, very extensive. And, you know, you have clearly brought out, why it's important for us to create, you know, messages in regards to comprehensive sexuality education. And, you know, if we have to move all the way to Tanzania, where Early Barrick is based, so Libarik, could you be able to shed light on any common misconceptions or knowledge gaps among peers regarding HIV? And how do you believe age-appropriate education can effectively bridge these gaps?
Well, thank you. I mean, that was really perfect from Wellington. So from my own perspective, I think, let me start. I think that it's very important to tailoring a comprehensive sexuality education, especially the education of the HIV in schools and out of school settings. So such education, it recognizes the unique needs and challenges faced by adolescents and young people. And it makes those needs and challenges or concerns more different when you consider the other HD group. So it speaks directly to the needs and challenges to the young people. As we know, the adolescents often grappled with so many issues, so many challenges, as we all know that during the adolescent age is the time of changing in different forms. So for example, changing the bodies, sexuality, influences, and desire of so many different things. And as we young people, we want to feed on those challenges that we undergo as the bodily changes. So the provision of such a comprehensive sexuality education, it is speak to the actions, and it's a specific experience that help us as young people and adolescents feel that we are valued and understood accordingly to our needs. So We have the community that have their own traditions. They have own norms and taboos. But we need to have one common think or one common form of education that speak to our unique needs. Moreover, comprehensive sexuality education can make a right information and right decisions to the young people. And it is easy for us to grab the importance of sexuality education and HIV prevention when we speak about comprehensive sexuality education. Means we want in a way that it's really speak to our needs. It's really speak to accordingly what we want to have in our community. So we don't want to grab the community needs or the traditional needs, as is always there. And sometimes when we come to traditional needs, probably some of them are negatively affecting the young people, but we don't want to be a part of that. We want our own common ways of living, common ways of knowledge and sharing within our own groups. That's the I can say. Thank you.
Oh, that's very, very beautiful. And those are very, very powerful insights from sharing about what, you know, young people can be able to be engaged in the space. You know, and so, you know, that's very thoughtful. And, you know, if we now have to go to my home country, that is Kenya, I'm not being biased, guys, I'm sorry. You've had experiences or have known others who've been touched by the power of relatable information. Now, can you share an instance where age-specific HIV education materials significantly impacted someone's perceptions or choices regarding their sexual rights, sexual health?
Thank you so much, Ruel, for that. And yes, back to your home country. So I think when I was young, we used to have these books, the textbooks. When you saw, like, you know, the first pages of the textbook where they were talking about HIV and AIDS, you would see someone who looks like, you know, like they're almost dying. They were very thin, and, you know, the kind of imaging that was there to show a person who had HIV and AIDS at that particular moment. I think those were the kind of messaging that we grew up knowing an HIV person looks like. Even billboards, you would see, you know, the kind of posters that they were being put, you know, in streets, on the streets and everywhere. They were showing this kind of a person, an HIV person, like almost dying, or rather the messaging was showing that, you know, HIV is a death sentence. But I'm very glad that, you know, the messaging nowadays, and people like, example, like you, when you do advocacy, and I follow you on social media, and I see the way that you put yourself out there, showing, you know, like we're just normal human beings, like everyone else. And, you know, I can take my medicine anywhere. I can take my medicine, you know, at JKIA, you know, the airport. I can take my medicine literally anywhere. So I think I love media nowadays, because I think media nowadays tries to show that, you know, that HIV people, they're just normal human beings like everyone else. And that is why we keep on insisting that, you know, the sexuality comprehensive education should be taken. You know, it should be people should embrace it, even in schools. Reason being, they are saying that they're noting that such practices will amount to violation of a child's right as prescribed in the Kenyan constitution, and the right information for them to learn and for them to also know. And I love that media is doing such a great job. And also, I think also some people like staying informed. Parents have also, some parents who know the kind of issues that the HIV people go through, I think they're also trying to showcase that, you know, you can be able to just live your life like anyone else. So I think also, some community leaders are also embracing it. And also advocacy has really played a major role when it comes to HIV advocacy. So I think I'm really enjoying the spaces that people can be able to talk about these things openly, because it's not like, you know, like years down the line, because people are very afraid to speak about HIV very openly. But I'm glad that people are embracing it, and the kind of messaging that is being put out there, it's not showing that HIV is a death sentence like they used to before.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ruel, and to you.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really glad that you follow me online. That really makes me feel really good that I'm actually doing something good that's impacting someone. That's really, really powerful, Veronica. And, you know, if we now have to turn the flight back around, we are global citizens, okay? And we have our panel from all over the country. We have Kenya, we have Cameroon, we have Tanzania. Now we're going back to Cameroon. And Welisani, you know, coming back to you, in what ways do you think, you know, traditional HIV education methods aren't quite hitting the mark for younger audience? And what innovative methods or strategies might be better to resonate with them?
All right, so I'm just going to do it in a sequence. And when we talk about some common misconceptions or knowledge gaps, you know, that I as a young person have been able to observe amongst my peers regarding HIV, there are quite a number. And yeah, I'm going to say that while growing up, I actually had no clue about what HIV, except that it is surrounded around it. So as a young person, I became affected by HIV. And until today, I strongly believe that the information I have now, if I had them 3 to 4 years ago, I think the story would have been different. And sometimes, even in my silent moment, I actually do cry because the loss I actually incurred, it's something that the right information would have prevented this. And so this is fake. Here are some misconceptions or knowledge gaps that I've observed. When we talk about transmission, you know, some young people believe that HIV can be transmitted through casual contact. You know, because I'm a content person, I still have a screenshot that I took from Twitter where someone talked about HIV, and the next response from another person, that another tweet, was a grave. You know, people still think that transmission, you know, of HIV can be done through sharing of utensils or even mosquito bites. But of course, age appropriate education clarified that HIV primarily is transmitted through unprotected sexual intercourse. We know that sharing of contaminated needles or sharp objects, you know, from mother to child during childbirth or breastfeeding. And it also emphasizes the importance of using condoms, practicing safe injection practices, and getting tested to prevent transmission.
Yeah.
You know, when we talk about prevention methods too, that's another misconception area. Avoiding or excluding people with HIV is not a prevention method. It's age-appropriate education that will teach us about prevention strategies such as consistent and correct condom use, pre-exposure prophylaxis, and post-exposure prophylaxis for emergency situations. I'll talk about stigma and discrimination. There's no way that when you deny people's basic rights, you know, denying basic human rights to people living with HIV does not stop the spread of the virus. Age-appropriate education rather promotes empathy, understanding, and contests stigmatizing beliefs, and highlights that HIV does not discriminate based on gender. It doesn't discriminate based on sexual orientation or race, while placing emphasis on treatment, dignity, respect, and support. Based on that question, I'll wrap up with treatment and care. You know, recently I was talking with a friend who is a sexual reproductive health and rights ambassador for a project. I engaged this friend in a conversation on you equal you, and to my shock, this friend had no clue what that was, untrackable, untransmittable. Age-appropriate education informs us about antiretroviral therapy and its effectiveness in managing HIV and the importance of adherence to treatment. You know, side effects, access to health services, availability to support networks for adolescents and young people living with HIV. And sexual reproductive health and rights, you know, young people have limited knowledge on that, as they think it's only limited to sex education. In Cameroon, when you talk about sexual reproductive health, you know, people just feel like you want to talk about sex. But when you speak with traditional leaders and religious leaders, oftentimes they think you want to introduce their community to immorality. But age-appropriate education can inform them about their rights to access comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care services, you know, including contraception, and also addresses issues of consent, healthy relationships, and of course, the importance of open communication. And like I said, I'll go in a sequence. Just to add to the question number three, instances where relatable age-appropriate education material has made significant impact. Like I said, I'm currently implementing and supporting projects on sexual reproductive health and rights. So I read a lot. The Pleasure Project. The Pleasure Project is an international education and advocacy organization working for safer sexual lives. They provide free training materials and ideas that enhances comprehensive sexuality education and workshops for every age group, gender, and demographic. And they make you become an awesome trainer. So most of the times I consult their materials a lot when I have community projects. And then there's also the Y Plus Global we are the change. Recently, during the HIV Adolescent Workshop, Y+ Global launch, the We Are the Change capacity building curriculum for community-based organizations working with and for adolescent girls and young women. And I know it was co-developed by Pata Pata and they have Voice Phone. Sure. I'm still exploring it, but I think it's amazing. And then now to the question which we are currently on, some traditional HIV education methods that have fallen short for younger people.
Yeah.
Times have definitely evolved, you know, and educational tools that were used in the past cannot be the same as now. It's important to work with the current trends, you know, explore innovative approaches to better engage and resonate with the adolescent community. And these are some of the things I think traditional methods have fallen short for the younger audiences. There's a lack of relevance. You know, the methods often fail to address specific needs and concerns of younger audiences, you know, as they rely on outdated information or use of languages that is not relatable to adolescents, which of course leads to disengagement. We are currently in the Gen Z era now, you know, and of course limited to retention of information.
Yeah.
I also talk about the absence of interactive content. You know, traditional education usually relied on didactic lectures, pamphlets. Pamphlets in Cameroon are more short notes, presentations, which may not really capture the attention of younger audiences who are, you know, accustomed to exploring and interactions and multimedia experiences. Mind you, I'm not denying the place of presentations, lectures and short notes, because trust me, if they are tailored to suit the needs of this time and generation, the Gen Z, interactive sessions, like space, you know, focus group discussions, focus group discussions, door-to-door sensitization where you meet adolescents and young people one-on-one in communities, and the use of comic books might be much more appropriate. There's insufficient emphasis on social and emotional aspects. You know, I choose to say insufficient because we cannot discredit the efforts of the past, else we would not have come this far. However, I think it's important that HIV education not only focuses on transmission and prevention, but, you know, also seeks to address all social and emotional facets surrounding HIV. And like I earlier said in our opening discussion about stigma, discrimination, relationship, sexuality, you know, and mental health, they are all the new ways to go. So for me, those are some of the ways that is all short. And for innovation, using digital platforms and technology. We are digitally savvy now, and we spend a lot of significant time online. Besides, the world is going digital as well, and so HIV education can leverage digital platforms, you know, like interactive websites, mobile applications, social media campaigns, to deliver information in an engaging and accessible manner. You know, addressing cultural and diversity considerations are also innovative ways. Any HIV education must be culturally sensitive, collaborating with community organizations, schools and young centers who understand their communities also ensures that, you know, there's the right and relevant content. And let me just lastly touch on storytelling and narratives. Personal narratives, you know, real life examples and storytelling techniques capture the attention of adolescents and young people. Personally, for me, leading projects in communities where we use safe space discussions as intervention strategies has really worked, where you have smaller group of people, you share your real life experiences, and they are able to relate very directly. And like I said, it's either you're infected or you're affected. And as such, you know, when they have individual stories that they can relate to and draw lessons to, then they are able to want to learn more, and they are also able to share same life stories. Thank you very much.
Oof, that's really, really amazing. And you know, I also would love to just touch a little bit on what you said a while back when people think we're talking about sex, which is also similar to Kenya. And that is what is also, like, you know, prolonging the process where we can be able to get this information to young people. That's really, really impressive and very powerful work that you're doing down there in Cameroon. And you know, we are wrapping things up. I know it's too soon, but tune in for the next episode. But before we do wrap up, you know, Eli Barry, if you could come in and, you know, how you'd be able to tell us how schools, families, and communities step up their game to ensure adolescents are not only informed, but also feel seen and heard enough. Comprehensive, relatable, and non-judgmental sexuality and HIV education. Could you be able to tackle that in the back?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So the schools, families, and communities have a very, very potential on tackling HIV prevention and spreading the education to the young people. So these two stakeholders need to collaborate in so that they can create a safe space and a supportive role and an open environment for discussing sexuality and HIV education. As Willis mentioned, same as Kenya, same as in Tanzania, we don't talk about sexual education. They think like, now you guys are going to teach our children about how to do sexy in the unsafe way, but which is not true, just a misconception that is in within the families, within the community, and schools as well. So school should incorporate age-appropriate curriculum, and teachers should be well-trained to deliver it effectively to the young people who are in school, and probably those who are out of school as well. So the family as well can be a good place to encourage and open conversations at home within the family members, and communicate the needs of young people so that they can recognize what they need, what their specific unique needs for the young people. But the community as well has the place to organize the workshop or the event that could be useful to encourage and engage the young people in safe and non-judgmental spaces. So the community has that capacity to gather the community members, the government officials as well, and other young people who are out of school settings, so that they can create a safe space and create a friendly conversation with there. So it's about breaking down the stigmas, the discrimination surrounding this topic, and ensure that the young people can access the right information and support their need within the community. So I feel these two stakeholders have a very big role in making sure that the young people will have the place, they have the safe space so that they can speak, they can loud out what they want, what they need in the community, because all of the challenges and concerns start from the families, start from the community, start from the schools and out of schools. When we come together with these school families and community together, we can have a safe space for the young people to speak and make them proud of what they want in the community. Thank you.
Oh, that's very, very beautiful. Very fantastic. Beautiful insight you have there. And, you know, Veronica, we are coming back to you. And, you know, I would just love, you know, from the conversation that we've had today, and it's very insightful, and it, you know, it has weight on, you know, real life problems that we as young people, as well as teenagers, are going through. So, Veronica, I would wish, you know, if you were to see a better world, what would it look like for teenagers?
Thank you so much, Ruel. So I think a better world, a world that I would see better for teenagers, it's, you know, addressing topics like safe sex and practices, because in Kenya, just like, you know, Wellington and Elibarak have said that their countries, they think when you're talking about, you know, comprehensive sexuality education, that is us trying to teach the kids, rather the students, about, you know, about sex practices or, you know, being an LGBT. We are LGBTQIA plus persons. That is what most people think about. But addressing topics like safe sex practices, regular testing, and understanding the importance of open communication with sexual partners is very important. And I think adolescent girls, you know, and young women, and also boys, they need to understand the importance of, you know, practicing safe sex. Yesterday, I was having a conversation with some of my friends, and someone asked, people who come from the LGBTQIA plus community, do they get HIV? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I mean, these are some of the conversation that people need to have, because, you know, lesbians can get HIV, gays can get HIV, I mean, anyone can get HIV and AIDS, but, you know, passing down the right information is very important. And also utilizing diverse teaching methods such as interactive activities is very important. Real life stories, we have this kind of, you know, this kind of podcast that we have here today. I think it's very important for people to share real life stories, because it might be able to help someone somewhere, someone knowing that, okay, you know what, maybe I'm just not alone. And that will give them a motivation to, you know, to keep on going about with their life. So, I mean, I think a real life stories is very important. And so many, you know, adolescent people might be able to relate and to understand that, you know, these are real life stories and this is what is happening out there if I don't practice safe sex. So that is something that is very important. I think something else that I can maybe mention is, you know, engaging different learning styles and keep the information accessible. Keep the information accessible for people to be able to access the correct and the right information. That is very important. We have this podcast here. We have other podcasts. We have, you know, other content creation spaces that create the correct and the right information for people to access, and they can be able to learn a thing or two. So I think, you know, just information should just be accessible for each and everyone, for people to be able to learn and understand, and also relearn and unlearning. Also, breaking down stigma is a key aspect of creating an environment where people feel comfortable and seeking testing and treatment is, you know, it's open for each and everyone. So I think it will be very important for people to, you know, to break down this stigma and stereotypes, because when that person asked yesterday if the queer community people can be able to, you know, to be able to get HIV, I was like, you know, we should be able to break down this stigma and discrimination, because anyone can be able to, you know, anyone can just, I mean, like, this should just be an open conversation, because anyone can get HIV. And I mean, what are you doing about it? Do you have the correct information? Do you know what is really happening around you? So I think breaking down stigma is a key, because I told you, like, you know, years back, people didn't really, you know, people will say, you know, that person dying because of, you know, the big disease. They used to call it big disease. I would have said it in my mother tongue, but not so many people will get that. But that is what they used to say, you know, those days, because this was not a conversation that was being spoken about very openly. So I think it's very important for us to keep the discussion going. It's very important. Let us use our spaces, the spaces that we're in. Let us keep on using these advocacy spaces that we're in, because that is the future that you want, for people to be able to talk about these kind of issues that are affecting us very openly, because it's very important for people to know, if you're not practicing safe sex, then you know what, this is what happens. And it's very important for people to get the correct information, that is. So I think that is something that we should also talk about. Having open communications is very important. I'm looking forward for a day that, you know, people will just be having this open communication, because it encourages open and non-judgmental communication within families about sex and relationships, and also the community at large.
Yeah.
Something else I think that is also very important is we should all try to embrace technology, interactive and inclusive, innovative approaches that can make HIV education more appealing and relevant to younger audiences. So I think that is also very important. We should all embrace technology and interactive and inclusive, innovative approaches. Something else that I just want to add is I think also digital storytelling is very important. Use of digital platforms to share real life stories, as we had said before, you know, like White Plus Global is giving us this platform. This is a podcast. People are talking about, you know, their life experiences. This is very important. Also, just, you know, to cheer me up, because I'm my number one fan. Also, my podcast, I also love to host stories, real life stories, because, you know, I think diversity in storytelling is very important. Storytelling is powerful. So let us all embrace the diversity in storytelling, because it's very universal and anyone can relate to whatever kind of story that you have. So storytelling is powerful, and we should also be able to use this kind of digital platforms to remind the adolescents that they are not alone, and we all belong here. So thank you so much, Ruel, and back to you.
Well, that's beautiful, and that's why My Reality Podcast is there, to tell stories such as this, where young people are at the forefront of their lives and where we are aiming at changing lives altogether. And, you know, and with that, this, you know, concludes the episode of The Teen Scene, Advancing Comprehensive Sexuality Education for Adolescents and Young People. I'm going to send a big thank you to our guests for sharing their perspectives and experiences today, it's clear that education tailored to young people is not just a need, it is a necessity. And also thank, you know, our guests more and our listeners for your participation, and stay tuned for more episodes as we continue to discuss and dissect the multifaceted world of advocacy. I have been your host, Joel Okeo. Be sure to follow our pages, Love Alliance, Y Plus Global, on all social media platforms where updates are going to be posted every now and then. So until next time, goodbye, kwaheri, adios, and obrigada. Ciao.